to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time. It is my privilege to welcome to the Mobile Pro podcast booth here at Exquisite Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, stove crew number 7, numero 7. I'm going to have them introduce themselves, starting with their crew leader.
Hi, I'm Christina Nice, and I'm from Campbell, California.
I'm Jendy Nice, and I'm from Campbell, California.
I'm Kurt Vogel from Metamora, Illinois.
I'm Luke from Metamora, Illinois.
I'm Sam Vogel from Metamora, Illinois.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. It is Thursday evening. We have one more full work day ahead. You guys have had a long week. Yep. And this is my favorite kind of podcast interview because we have some veterans and we have some newbies. And that's always makes for a great mix of what you experience and how you view your experiences. So tell me about tomorrow. Are you looking forward to tomorrow? Are you sad about tomorrow? It's the last day. Are you something else?
Tomorrow's my last day.
Well, tomorrow's our last work day on site. So it's our last day in the village. So I'm just curious where you're at with where your thoughts are with that.
I didn't realize until today that it was Thursday.
I thought it was still Wednesday.
I thought it was Wednesday, too.
This was at VBS this afternoon.
No, this week is, I guess, it just blurred by.
Yeah, I didn't think there was a Tuesday.
Did we skip that this week?
Yeah, I think so.
For me, it's just totally, the days flew by, you were... I mean, it's hard to believe tomorrow's Friday already. Yeah. It's just hard to believe. I mean, it nothing drug on at all for me. It's just, it's been a good experience and just flew by.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, I think that the days, they're all so jam-packed full of things that you're doing something pretty much every second, and there's some downtime and everything between like worship and dinner and all that, but once the day's over, you go to bed and you're like, wait, that day just happened. I mean, it goes by. The days are long, but they just go by really, really fast. So
you really haven't had much time to reflect on, oh, wait, it's almost over.
Yeah, not a whole lot, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a very honest answer.
Did it go slow for you? Has it been fast? Or has
probably
it been
pretty quick.
Yeah.
Pretty quick.
I'm sure I'll reflect on the plane rides.
Yeah, you'll have plenty of time to reflect, I'm sure. So you guys, I'm looking at the Vogels here, newbies, first-timers, never been to Guatemala before, never been on this mission before, but you heard a lot about it, right? From ANSPOR and church, and how is it different? What surprised you about this trip?
Well, so I had the uniqueness of being to Guatemala before 10 years ago.
Oh, you really? I didn't know that.
Yep, I did a mission trip. We flew into Guatemala City, stayed in Antigua one night, then went up to Quetzaltenango.
Mm-hmm. Quetzaltenango, right?
Yeah, and we stayed up there all week, and then we came back, stayed in Antigua, and then flew out. So that was over 10 years ago now. Not much has changed in 10 years.
That's something.
But it was another great experience as it was 10 years ago. We did it through our church, and it was just amazing when we went on that. It was me and my dad. My dad went along with me.
Mm.
And we were getting ready to move about that same time, so you were trying to prepare for moving and changing jobs at the same time you're going on a mission trip. But it was just amazing because everything worked out. I mean, we were putting a ceiling in a church, and I don't know, it, like, everything we did, you knew God's hand was in it, because, like, we ran out of lumber, somebody turned in the same lumber that we needed.
Mm.
It was just the things that all lined up, and pretty neat. But, yeah, I mean, it really hasn't changed. I mean, I don't see any differences in maybe improvements or different things. I mean, it seems like it's the mm-hmm. same as it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's sad in many respects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you were probably working in a similar village at what we're working in now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they do. They kind of, well, poverty looks the same all over the world.
Exactly.
And I've been to India and Haiti and many of the islands, and
yeah.
dirt floor, open fire cooking, yeah. no shoes.
Yeah. And I've been throughout Central America quite a bit, so I've been to Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Panama, Colombia, and South America. But
South Africa.
Yeah. South America. So you see the same things
right.
throughout these countries, so it's... You see a lot of the same stuff, really.
So, Luke, anything surprising to you? Anything different than what you thought it was going to be like?
I kind of got, like, the gist that it was, like, going to be, like... I kind of pictured it worse than it really was. Like, when I thought of Guatemala, I kind of thought, like, it was just, like, so poor. But there's some parts, like Antigua, that are, like, a lot wealthier.
Mm-hmm.
And I just pictured it, like, it's a bunch of, like, just... lots of slums everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, when I came here, it's like, oh, there's a lot of wealthy people here, too.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of poor people here, too.
Yeah, and this hotel does not feel poor.
Right.
It's not very representative yeah. of the families that we're serving.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the opposite. So, yeah, I could see where that would be. In Antigua, where we're staying, mm-hmm. it's a beautiful tourist city and beautiful colonial architecture. And interesting. And someone mentioned earlier that there's not many developing countries that it's kind of wealthy or poor. There's not much mm-hmm. in between. You don't see a lot of middle
right.
ground, middle class. Yeah. And you guys have experienced that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, do you have any surprises, anything that you really weren't expecting?
I guess, like, in Illinois, in America, we're, like, Peoria, which is near where we live, it's a different kind of poverty. Because what would be seen as poverty in Peoria is, like, middle class, kind of. That would be here. I mean, it's like, and the difference is between the U.S. and here is that in the U.S. the people get government aid,
mm-hmm.
and down here there's nothing, and people are just trying to survive. And that's a really big barrier on the poverty spectrum there. So I wasn't expecting that. I was kind of picturing sort of the south end of Peoria sort of thing, and it was really different. It was like a different world compared to. So.
And my understanding is you guys have, as a family, have worked with the poor in your area. Is that
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Through the Samaritan's Purse, maybe some food kitchens, food banks, and things like that, right? So you have seen poverty in the U.S., and this is much different than that.
There's no comparison. I mean, even the most unwealthy, they have a car. They have ways to get around. How many people here are on motorcycles or walking? I mean, so many people walk. In Peoria, you don't see people walking. You see one here or there. But it's a smaller town, too. But it's totally different. They've got decent houses, even if it's a government provided housing. It's nothing compared to what conditions you have here, with dirt floors, with open ceilings, with just a sheet metal over the top. I mean, it's just totally, you can't compare it, really.
A few years ago, I was trying to do a presentation, and I was trying to explain the difference in the level of poverty without being disrespectful to those who live in poverty in the United States, trying to figure out a way to explain this. And fortunately, there's a lot of people who've tried to explain it as well before me. And I was able to find... So there's this organization called the World Bank, and they are the ones who, they work in developing countries all over the world, and they try to put some numbers and put some language to describe these things. And one of the things I found really helpful is they've defined extreme poverty for the world, and that's between $1 and $2 per person per day. Is their definition of extreme poverty. Mm-hmm. We do have extreme poverty in the U.S., but it's less than 1% of the population. Mm-hmm. What we have is what they define as relative poverty, relative to the median or the average wealth of people who live in the United States. And so relative poverty is defined, I believe it's 30% below the poverty line. So if the poverty line in the United States is like $23,000 a year or something along those lines, so 30%, less than that, would be defined as relative poverty. I mean, it is very impoverished for the United States. Mm-hmm. So it's still, it's poverty. It's hard to make a living, live off of this amount of money, even if that amount of money is several times more than what extreme poverty would be here in the U.S. Those two things were really helpful to me in understanding, they're poor relative to everyone else in that country. But if you want to look at poor compared to the rest of the world, the World Bank has a lot of great information about that. And most of the families that we're serving are living between $1 and $2 per person per day. And the extreme poverty level, dirt floors, open fire cooking, no shoes, maybe going to school through fifth grade, maybe not. Mm-hmm. You know, public water source, it's not pure water, etc. So, anyway. I diverge, but I think it was really helpful.
It's the conveniences, right? I mean, it is. It's washer, dryer, microwave, I mean, dishwasher. I mean, so many of the conveniences that we have just aren't here. Mm-hmm. It's just not here.
So I'm curious if you are able to describe your experience so far in one word. Like if you had to say, okay, this is one word. And Jenny's rolling her eyes like, are you kidding me?
Think about that one. That needs some thought.
If you could define your experience this week or your feelings about this week, in one word, what one word would sum up, or what word would you choose?
I guess my word would be remember, because I've been in this community before, but I've just been remembering and re-interacting with it, and re-experiencing it again, I guess. I mean, we spend all year, I mean, I've been coming back here every summer for many, many years, and it's kind of, I mean, now that I've done it so long, it's actually easy to like numb it down a little bit. Even though I only see it for 2 weeks a year, it's still, you know, not a first time experience, you know, and so it's easy to kind of glaze over it, I guess, which is crazy, but I guess this week I'm just remembering like how extreme this is, how important our work is, and how incredible these people are. And I think today I was just noticing again, like, the community that is there in Dueñas and those women. I, like, just talked and was standing next to a few during VBS today, and I think last year we were so just taken aback by that, and today it was just full again, and there were so many women around, so many children. You could see everyone kind of, like, checking out each other's kids. Like, it's just like a community. I think even more seeing how Corazón de los Niños is really a part of the Dueñas community, and it's not a separate thing. Like, I mean, of course we're working with people who are involved, but it's very integral at this point. They've done so much work, and these women are really participating to a point that they are a part of it, and leading. Mm-hmm. So that's really great.
I think my word would be intrigued.
Intrigued.
Because I haven't really been out of the country as far as Guatemala before, and there hasn't been a bus ride where I haven't been looking around and seeing all the different things, because it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
It's so different. And, like, soldiers on the side of the street with assault rifles, and you'd never see that in the U.S. I mean...
Yeah.
And, I mean, the language, since I don't speak that much Spanish, I mean, it's just like, I want to kind of learn it and all this, and it's just like, I wish I knew more so I could get closer to the people a little bit. But I mean, I'm really thinking about coming back next year. Mm. And maybe doing this again, because I just want to experience it more. Mm-hmm. It's a very intriguing place for somebody that's never been out of the country and experience this kind of poverty and all that stuff before.
Amen. I hope you will come back.
Well, I guess it's my turn. I'd have to say, like, just different.
Different.
Because, like, I don't know, like, everywhere you go, it's just different from the U.S.
Give me an example. What's different?
Like dogs. Like, here it's like everyone's enemies almost. Whereas back in the U.S., you, like, never see a stray dog because someone's always, like, taking care of it or something.
And how many stray dogs do you think you saw this week?
I'm sure he was trying to count them.
I don't know.
You know, we actually had a crew. Do you remember this? We had a crew one year that counted the dogs.
Oh, wow.
They saw over 30 stray dogs a day.
Yeah, I can believe it.
Some days it was over 50.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and you believe that. You believe me?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. Different. Yep. Drew?
Probably my one word would be gracious. Not only every home that we went into, they welcomed you in. They were happy that you were there and doing, putting the stoves together. It didn't matter if it was going into a home or if it was doing like VBS. The kids just love to have you there. They're all gracious to have you there. Mm. So that's one level. And then it's just that we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. We're here as a family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just happy to be here. Go ahead.
It's hard to boil it down to one word, but in such a short amount of time, I think the word that first came to mind was humility.
Mm-hmm.
And I just humbled. I'm just so humbled when I go into these homes, and you know their lifestyle. Everything is so different. You know, the washing, the water. They don't have access to water every day. They don't have access to markets every day. I mean, they can go into these little stores, I'm sure these little tiendas, but they're probably going to pay a lot more. They wouldn't have what they need that they normally buy at the market, and just their lifestyle. And, you know, they have to walk everywhere, and they have to, you know, as a mother, I think, you know, they have to send their little children out to go do things for them because they can't leave the home because they have other little ones or what have you. So they're having to, you know, do things so differently than we do in the States. And yet they're so joyful and they're so gracious and grateful and just happy and serving and working so hard to prepare for us. And, you know, they have to wait around for us, or they have to wait around for supplies or whatever it is. And, you know, and yet they're just so kind and so happy that we're there. And, you know, I know there's just so much that goes into this week that's behind the scenes on their end. You know, they have to prepare for us to come into their home. So they have to rearrange their home, I'm sure. And then on top of that, they have to figure out how they're going to cook their meals before we come in, and how they're going to get time off work or whatever, or put aside their daily tasks. And I just think all those things are just amazing. And I'm sure those are only a few of the things that they're doing to prepare for our time to come. And I just feel really humbled by that. Mm. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've met a lot of people this week. You've been in many people's homes. You've seen a lot of kids at VBS. We had over 100 kids, easily, over 100 kids at VBS today. I hear people say, I think we said it earlier, that, you know, like, so much happens in a day here, like a month's worth of things happen. And one of the reasons why we do these podcasts is to try and remember some of the moments, some of the things that happen. Who is one person that you've met here in Guatemala that in 2 years from now you don't want to forget? One special person. Maybe it's a kid. Maybe it's somebody whose home you went in. Maybe it's someone from Cuadros de los Niños. Maybe it's someone on one of our teams. But who is one person that you really made an impact on you and you don't want to forget? They're thinking really hard.
Sam, Avatar.
Yeah, the dog with the painted head.
The what?
Yeah. There's a dog, and it got wet paint on its head, so it was like paint. Just a blue spot on its head, so we named it Avatar.
It's just a little street dog that came into the BBS room and was running around everywhere, and they were painting.
Mm-hmm. He stuck his head in the wet paint.
Okay, so is that your final answer?
I have two, and I can't decide who it is.
I'll pick one.
Okay. Rosalba, she's a woman that we worked with last year. She was kind of our guide for stove teams. But I don't know if she's in more leadership this year than she was last year.
She is. She? Mm-hmm.
But she just amazes me. She's just got so much energy. And when I think of, you know, what makes me humbled her, just to watch her and just to see all that she accomplishes with her children, with her family, and the community. And she just has such an amazing heart, you can tell, for and a passion for the projects and for us and for the community and then for her family. And today we were sitting with her during VBS during the story time, and her son came up to her, and Christina told me later that on the way home that she told her son, "You go listen, because I'm going to ask you questions afterwards."
Whoa.
So she's just a really good mom. So yeah. I mean, on top of everything else she does, she's a parent too, and she's serious about that. And I love her, and just the heart, you know. And you just, even though I don't speak Spanish, we just have a connection. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of neat just how every village, every year, you just kind of make those connections. And she's one of those people
that she I connect is.
With.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? Well, I'm glad I met these two.
He's pointing at Christina and Jenny.
Yep, because, I mean, it was good to work with them, and you just got to know them more over the week. Just in the bus, I mean, Christina and Luke and I had talked, and
she was asleep the whole time.
These past few days she was asleep. Yeah, but, I mean, we just got to know each other and everything, and it was really nice to just know, and we worked really well as a team mm-hmm. together, and it was nice to get mm-hmm. to know these two. So
they are worth remembering.
And I can't speak Spanish, so I couldn't really meet anybody else.
Yep. That'll change. You're going to learn some Spanish this year. Come back next year, and we'll have to be like, "Sam, okay, knock on. We got to go." Could be in a conversation. Others? You want to remember?
I mean, there's a, and I forget the names all the time, but little girl at VBS that's always, I mean, held my hand during the games. I mean, just there. I mean, she wants to talk to me, but I can't speak with her because of the language barrier. But yeah, definitely. Yeah, kids are special here. I mean,
mm-hmm, definitely.
They just kind of latch on to you, and and even though you can't speak, there's still just a connection. You can feel the connections, which is really special. And then, obviously, the names again. The guy who comes in and helps that you introduced us to.
Who had all the money?
Casildo.
What a story. I mean, just, I came to help, and I mean,
mm-hmm.
neat guy. I mean, had to chance to sit with him the one meal, too, and just, he's just here to help, and he's engaged, and it's something special that he can, he wants to do that and to be here. And the story you shared the other night, was, or the other morning, I guess it was, yeah, it was touching.
Yeah, just briefly, Casildo is a Guatemalan who remembers in 1976 when his home was destroyed by an earthquake. A few months later, a group of American missionaries came and built them a new house. And ever since, he's wanted to pay it forward, to give back. And so we were working in his village, and he came up one day and asked to volunteer, and we were a little suspicious because we have a lot of people who are looking for jobs, they're looking for work from Americans, and he whipped out his wallet and fanned out this a lot of cash. And he's like, I got money, I don't need your money, I just want to help. And he's got long hair and he kind of looks different, and we were a little suspicious, and worked his tail off on the floor crew, laying concrete all week, and then said, where are you going next week? I'd love to help, and made his way out to a two-hour bus ride, getting on the bus at 4 o'clock in the morning, come help us in this other village, just to say thank you for what a group of American missionaries did for him and his family in 1976. So he is a very special man. My wife, Dom Reese, calls him Jesus. She said that man is Jesus incarnate, and most people miss him. Most people dismiss him, don't notice him, don't take the time to get to know him and know his true love for others. And he's the most sacrificially giving, unconditionally loving person I think we've ever met.
Yeah. I see it.
Very special, man. I hear worship starting. I don't want to keep you any longer. I hope you'll remember those other names. And I just want to take this moment to thank you all individually. I know I'm running around. Dom Reese is running around. We didn't have much time to hang out. It was great to get to know you, Kurt, mm-hmm, earlier absolutely. Today. We had a chance to talk farming and engineering, yeah. Which my dad was from a farm, and you're from a farm, and yeah. You're an engineer. My dad's an engineer in the automotive industry, and lots of connections, but that was a rare moment. Mm-hmm. I would love to
get... I'm going to ask you guys to come play games. Come on over. Stop talking. You need people to play games.
Yeah, no. That's what happens, you know? It's like, finally make a connection, someone pulls me aside and says, we need you here and need you there. And so I like to take this moment to say, on behalf of Dom Reese and myself, thank you. Thank you for coming to Guatemala. Thanks for bringing your heart. Thanks for coming back to Guatemala, mm-hmm. and coming with your whole heart and giving all that you have to love and serve our dear friends in Guatemala. We couldn't do it without you. And we're honored and humbled to serve side by side with you all. So thanks for your service to our Lord and to his children here in Guatemala, and thanks for sharing your stories with me on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga, may God bless you. Vaya con Dios, go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.